Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it! It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. We're talking markets, finance, business, economics, ka-ching, bling, and just about everything money-related. Are those helicopters I'm hearing? Or do I need to get out my tinfoil hat? What's your headline that captures this financial week, Stacy?
Well, sometimes helicopters come to rescue you, and sometimes they come to shoot you down. So are the helicopters in my headlines this week, are they a good omen or a bad omen? Central banks are already doing the unthinkable. You just don't know it. And this is a headline from the Telegraph newspaper in the United Kingdom. And accompanying the article is a photo with two helicopters in it. Money, money, money being thrown from helicopters, cash onto the banks, and it's supposed to help us. The article points out, that doesn't sound very positive. That sounds like a bad helicopter. They describe helicopter money as a catch-all term to describe the process.
Helicopter money is a catch-all term to describe monetary process.
By which central banks can create money to transfer to the public or private sector to stimulate economic activity.
I got you, big doggy. Yeah, it's to stimulate or to weaken the economy right here. Back at you.
So, Max, you know quantitative easing, and that is a program that was begun in Japan quite a while ago, like 2 decades ago, and now the ECB is engaging in it. They've expanded. Just last week, they expanded their quantitative easing by 20 billion euros a month. They're buying up 20 billion euros more worth of assets from banks across Europe, and this is supposed to save the economy.
Well, you know, Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, I think he put it best. The horror! The horror! The horror! You know, the amazing thing is, Stacey, that we're seeing a bookend of the crisis of 1970s. If you recall, it was a crisis of inflation. Wages were out of control. We needed to wipe inflation now. When? Gerald Ford is president. And interest rates are driven up to the very high, high levels in the high teens. Now we have the opposite. This is a crisis of deflation. No amount of money printing, no amount of quantitative easing, no negative interest rates are stimulating the economy enough to generate enough taxable income to pay down the debt. In fact, some would argue this is a debt trap that's gone global, a global debt trap. Where will it end? Will it be like some of those experiments up at the nuclear physics lab where they create a particle accelerator in a black hole that we all get swallowed up in a debt?
Okay, well, let's explain what the unusual situation is across the Europe and Asia in the past week or two. The Bank of Japan kicked off a new round of global easing with its decision to cross the Rubicon into negative interest rate territory on January 29th. So they've waited like 20 years to do that, but of course the ECB was ahead of them, already negative, and Eurozone policymakers followed suit earlier this month, so in March, with a triple whammy of interest rate cuts, 20 billion euros, as I pointed out, in additional asset purchases a month, and an unprecedented move to allow commercial banks to borrow money at negative rates.
Well, you know, this is wealth confiscation by any other name. And what's amazing is that it's social engineering and social cleansing via monetary policy. If you have a savings account, they want you to empty that right now and go buy worthless junk at the store so that some freaking hedge fund manager somewhere can buy a yacht. This is absolutely deplorable.
Okay. Well, since negative rates were first introduced by the ECB over a year ago... No, they don't have helicopters in there, so the helicopter noise is not needed here because it has not resulted in further lending, because in fact there's been a sixfold increase in deposits by banks. So they're hoarding money, they're not lending money despite the negative rates. The Bank of Japan, however, has imposed a three-tier deposit rate on banks this year and can be seen as a covert attempt to transfer funds to the private sector, according to Eric Longerman. He's an economist and hedge fund manager. So I want to go to Mitch Feierstein in New York City and ask him, because he is planetponzi.com, about whether or not he thinks what these central banks are doing will result in a saving of the economy, and will helicopter money save us?
What we need to think about here is, do central banks still have credibility? Is this a Hail Mary pass where they're absolutely desperate? Now, we used to have policy, economic policy that drove the markets. Now we have economic policy that actually controls the markets. So what we have done is, in effect, we've created anointed seers and wizards based on Keynesian economic theory who run central banks, non-elected officials who are controlling what happens in the global economic policy world. Now, is this a good thing? I would argue that it's a really bad thing. If you look at Japan, for the past 30 years, they've been in a lost three decades. Production is dead. The housing bubble in Japan in 1987, when prices were higher than Manhattan, dropped from 1987 to 2004 by 90%. That will happen in the West. You can't create bubbles, inflate massive asset bubbles in property, real estate, and bonds, and expect consequences not to happen. Now, the central banks, you know, they say, well, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? This is a good example. So I would say, okay, well, I see the glass as half full because there's a lot of opportunity. And then the central bankers would say, well, let's just change the measurement of the size of the glass. So this is what they do with their data. They change the way that they report their data. So you mentioned deflation. Now, is there deflation? I would argue that when you see from 1981 to 2014, tuition prices go up 1,300%. You see food prices, healthcare costs skyrocketing, record amounts of student debt and student loans, federal debt off the charts, money printing off the charts. You know, you see all this increasing and you see the most humongous wealth inequality gap in history.
Hey there, this is Max Keiser. I'm with Stacey Herbert. We got a new show here in Sputnik called Double Down.
Okay, well, Mitch, let's talk specifically about this move at the Bank of Japan. Eric Lonergan, in this Telegraph column, he's an economist and a hedge fund manager, notes that the Bank of Japan's decision to exempt some reserves from the negative rate represents a transfer of cash to commercial lenders at a rate of 0.1%. The system, he says, separates out the interest rates on reserves from which affects market rates. So he thinks this is a first step to helicopter money and it opens up a new avenue of stimulus. Do you agree with him? Is this going to help? Is helicopter money on the way to Europe and America?
Yes, I think that helicopter money is on the way. I think that the central banks are desperate. Because if you listen to the rhetoric that's out there, will it work? Absolutely not. There's no chance that it will work. But if you go back and you look at, say, the Bank of Japan and what their press statements have said, they've promised to do one thing, and then they've done a 180 and the exact opposite. I mean, 2 weeks before, they said that they would never do negative interest rate policy in a policy statement. 2 weeks later, they come out and they announce it. But this is consistent with what's happened with the European Central Bank. If you remember, the European Central Bank, going back to September 2014, Mario Draghi came out and he said, the quote was that we have reached the lower bound in interest rates. There's no lower. We can go no lower now. This was September 2014. And, you know, they have gone lower since then. And, you know, last week he said to the markets, you know, we have finished for now, or this is as low as we can go. But we know that that's not true. And I mean, if you want to throw into the fray, Mark Carney at the Bank of England, I mean, he's got 20 misstatements of policy when he was going to raise interest rates when he was first in Canada and when he was going to raise interest rates to achieve escape velocity in the UK. This never happened. You know, we highlighted that you can never taper a Ponzi scheme and you can't taper a Ponzi scheme. And this is the world's biggest Ponzi scheme. The reason why they have to keep interest rates low or negative is because once they become positive, a lot of these insolvent governments who have amassed massive debt cannot afford to pay the interest on the debt, and debt service becomes impossible. They become insolvent, and that's the end of the game. So this is the problem that they've created, and they've boxed themselves into a liquidity trap that they can't get out of.
Yeah, you know, but okay, Mitch, let me jump in here. So liquidity trap, to me, is deflation. I mean, when you talk about rising prices for education and food – That's price gouging in local markets where there's no competition because of the deflation that's occurred and the elimination of so many corporations that have been merged. They've been consolidated because of the cheap money. So there's different ways to look at those two words and within the context of what's happening globally. And going forward, if there's interest rates are heading down even cheaper and there is no way to pay this debt off and we are headed to a debt trap, then at what point do you have a complete break in the system? And where will we see that break occur first? Some people posit that, in fact, Japan will be the first country to utterly collapse under the weight of this continued crisis, if you will. What are your thoughts?
We're already seeing the beginnings of this, but you know, no, the media, the traditional media is not talking about it. What we've seen for the past 2.5 years that I've been talking about are these massive currency wars and not competitive, but devaluations of currencies. You've seen the Japanese yen drop over 25% against the US dollar. You've seen a similar move where it's gone from 77 to 123 or 124. And you've seen a similar move in the euro, the European currency, the euro, where it's gone from, you know, 141 against the dollar down to like 105. So what they're doing is trying to become more competitive by debasing their currency. It also makes the debt easier to repay when you enter into a currency war. The problem is China is going to jump into the fray. China needs to devalue their currency. So currency wars lead to trade wars, which in effect lead to hot wars. Now, in economic policy, you have to realize there's a few years gap between the time you implement the policy and the time it really comes to fruition. Now, what we need to consider is what will happen next, and is there opportunity here? Now, of course, there's opportunity, but you've got to look where other people don't look. Is it great to just jump on the bandwagon and say, okay, well, all these central banks are purchasing assets, which leads to corporations to issue bonds that the government's going to buy and buy their shares back, which is going to push stocks higher. Now, that's what's driving the stock market today and creating massive asset bubbles. Is that good? Absolutely not. Will it end in tears? Absolutely. But it's always the most difficult thing to pick the top of a bubble. You can see a bubble, smell a bubble, and feel a bubble miles away. But picking the absolute top is a problem. The problem, or what you want to do in this circumstance, is avoid participating in that bubble because you don't want to be the one holding the bag when it collapses.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh, yeah, it's a new show on Sputnik Radio.
Mitch Feierstein of PlanetPonzi.com. I want to ask you about Janet Yellen at the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank. This is a U.S. central bank. She suggested that there will be only 2 interest rate rises per year rather than the 4. And what happens if this bubble pops? Where do we go from there? Because one thing about these negative interest rate policies is I heard it suggested that the U.S. Federal Reserve will not be able to go negative because of the mutual fund industry, because it cannot break the buck. And going negative will cause the mutual fund industry and the tens of trillions of dollars in the mutual fund industry to panic as it did in 2008.
Well, I think Janet Yellen has her own sets of problems, and I think the whole Federal Reserve needs to be audited, and I think we need to end the Fed, but we need a bit of background here. So Janet Yellen has been on the Federal Reserve Board for over 10 years as Ben Bernanke's assistant, you know, the co-chairperson. That's led to these policies. She never voted no against a policy in the entire time she's been on the Federal Reserve Board. She keeps the status quo. That's why President Obama made her the Fed chairman going into a presidential election cycle so they would keep interest rates low. Now, we've said this before. You can't taper a Ponzi scheme. She won't. Will the U.S. go negative? The U.S. will eventually go negative. I mean, it's as Max pointed out, this is sanctioned deposit confiscation is what it is. But they'll come up with a way to do it because they're backed into a corner and they have no other option. You know, I think this will end, you know, the Fed. It will end the Fed eventually, but it's going to happen too late. And, you know, we're in the beginnings of the next crisis and people need to prepare themselves and take advantage of the opportunities that will avail themselves when the crisis happens.
Yeah, the choppers are warming up, Mitch. We're about ready to take off. We're in Saigon. We need to get out of the hot zone, Mitch, and Firestein. Oh, the helicopters are leaving, Mitch. We're on the embassy roof. We're getting out of Saigon. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down. With me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert right here on Sputnik Radio. I'd like to thank our guest, Mitch Firestein of Planet Ponzi. Tune in next week to Sputnik Radio to hear more Double Down.